Now tonight we're going to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 and continue our study in the book of 1 Peter. And tonight I'm going to be speaking from 1 Peter 2, the first 10 verses. Now when our Lord redeemed us, from death, we passed from death unto life. When he redeemed us from the kingdom of darkness, he said he translated us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear Son. When he redeemed us from the bondage and captivity of sin, he led captivity captive, opened the eyes of the blind. He did a work of grace for us. If you'll turn to Isaiah 53, a familiar scripture, but this is the work he did for us. In Isaiah chapter 53, it says in verse 4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. He did a work for us. He redeemed us. And 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he bore our sins. He who knew no sin. He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And that work is finished. That work is complete. There's nothing to be added to it. Of God, he has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. All that we need. All that God requires. All that the law demands. All that God Almighty has commanded. So that even a dying thief, in the last hours of his existence on this earth, can call upon Christ in faith and be taken complete to glory. That's how sure and certain that work for us is. And as one old preacher said, I rejoice in my Lord's salvation, and I give him all the glory for his covenant mercies, for his daily grace and eternal glory. As the writer said, unto him that loved me and washed me from my sins in his own blood, and hath made me a king and a priest unto God and his Father, to him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. It's finished. It's finished. And our Lord also, we're going to see here in 1 Peter tonight, chapter 2, our Lord also did a work of grace in us, a complete work of grace for us, and a work of grace in us. And he is working in us now. Now, if you'll turn back just a page or two or three to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. It says here in Hebrews 13, verse 20, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you, not only for you, but in you, working in you, that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And Paul said in the book of Galatians, chapter 2, Galatians chapter 2, he said, I'm crucified with Christ. When Christ died, I died. When Christ rose, I rose. When Christ ascended, I ascended. I'm seated with him, crucified with him, buried, risen with him. Nevertheless, I live. I live. And yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now when he begins this work in us, we're babes, born of God. Like a young baby's born from its mother, it's complete. When a baby's born into this world from its mother's womb, it's complete. It has all it'll ever have. It'll never grow another finger. It'll never grow another ear. It'll never grow another nose. It'll never grow another eye, another foot or leg. It's complete, absolutely complete. That baby has everything it needs to be a full-grown man or woman. Full-grown. It's complete. It has a heart, lungs, everything it'll ever have. It's brought forth from the womb. And when we're born, born again, redeemed, regenerated by the Holy Spirit, we have everything we need in glory, everything in Christ. He's made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Everything. Complete in him. Complete in him. But we're babes. Now watch 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. I'm going back and start at the first, but let's just see this word babe a little bit. Verse 2 says, as newborn babes. As newborn babes. You know what a babe is? A baby. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Grow right here on this earth. Grow in grace. Well, get to that in a minute. But back to Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5. As newborn babes desire. Newborn. Born of God. And a baby. Hebrews 5, verse 13. Everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. He's a babe. He's a babe. He's a newborn babe. He's a new believer. He's not an elder, not even a young man. He's a baby. Strong meat belongeth to them of full age. That doesn't just mean old people. But that means people who've been saved a while, who've been taught, who are mature, who've experienced the word grown. A man can be an elder at 30 years of age. He can be a full age at 40 years of age. If God's worked in his heart and he's diligently studied the word, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not be ashamed. So this is not full age in the sense that there's some white-haired people who are babes in Christ. And there's some young men who are mature in Christ. So it's being taught the word. We'll see in a few moments. But let's look at 1 John now. Over here to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, when we're born again, we're born of God, we're babies. In 1 John 2, it says in verse 13, now listen. I write unto you fathers, mature believers, because you've known him that's from the beginning. I write unto you young men, because you've overcome the wicked one. I write unto you little children, because you know the Father. Little children, babes in Christ, new believers, not able to go it alone. Not able to go it alone. Must be close to the breast. Must be dandled on the knee. Must be caressed and cared for. Must be protected, provided for. Must be taught. One newly come to faith. Little children. And Paul calls us in 1 Timothy novices when we're young. 1 Timothy 3. He warns the church about laying hands suddenly on somebody, and a new believer has just come to faith. You want to be careful now, not give him too much responsibility, because he's a novice. Over here in 1 Peter 3, verse, talking about the bishop, the preacher, the elder, the pastor. One that, verse 4, that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. If a man know not how to rule his own house, how can he take care of the church of God? And then don't ordain a novice. Not a novice. That in your margin says one newly come to faith. Don't lay hands on a novice and put him up teaching and preaching. Lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. So this matter of maturity. Our God does a perfect work of redemption. We're complete in Christ. But when we're born of God and regenerated and come into this world, born again, we're babies. And there's got to be spiritual growth. It's a matter of maturity. Maturity. Ephesians 4. I want to read you one more, and then we'll go into our study here, which deals with this. Deals with this growing and maturity. In Ephesians 4. Now listen to this. Let's read verse 11. Ephesians 4, verse 11. Our Lord, and he gave some apostles, he had gifts and talents and the message and the office of apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, that's traveling missionaries, and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting, the maturity of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto a mature man, experienced man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we be henceforth no more children. You don't want to stay a baby, do you? No. You don't want to stay little children. We want to stay little children in attitude. In attitude. We want to forgive like a little child does and forget like a little child does and be gracious like a little child is, and trusting as a little child is, but not in manners and not in understanding. You don't want to be babies. That you be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But watch it now. Speaking the truth in love, we may grow up. That you may grow up. You ever turn to one of your children and say, why don't you grow up? Why don't you grow up? You know. And you know what you mean by that. They act like somebody's got some sense, you know. Act like you've got some understanding. Grow up. And that's what he's saying here. Speak the truth in love that people may grow up into him. Growing in grace and the knowledge of Christ. Grow up into him. He's the key to this whole thing. Grow up into him in all things. Balanced all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now, this spiritual growth is accomplished through the Word of God. Now, let's get to our text. And you know, we always go back. We don't start with chapter 2, verse 1. We go back to chapter 1, verse 23. Now, we're born again. Here's where this thing started. Born again, begotten of God, not of corruptible seed. That's our natural birth, corruptible semen, but of incorruptible seed by the Word of God. We're born by the Word of God. The Word of God is the seed by which we're born. Holy Spirit comes and uses the water of the Word, Spirit and the water, which liveth and abideth forever. His word, for all flesh is his grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord, the word endureth forever. And this is the word, which by the gospel is preached unto you. The word, that's the instrument of birth and of growth. That's how we're born again, by the word. Of his own will begat he us through the word of truth. That's how we're born, that's how we grow. By the word. Oh, I look at verse 1, chapter 2. Wherefore? Wherefore? Therefore, laying aside all malice,
all guile, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking, lay it aside. Now, when a person, Charles Spurgeon said, when a person plans to write with a new pen, the first thing he does is lay down the old one. You're going to write with a new pen, you lay down the old one. If you're going to work with a new hammer, you lay down the old one. If you're going to work with new tools, you lay aside the old tools. And when a person plans to walk with God, he plans to walk identified with the family of God. There must be some laying aside. Laying aside of the old ways. Laying aside of the old habits. Laying aside the old companions. Laying aside the old attitudes. And this is not done in a moment. Any more than a baby grows up overnight. He says in verse 1, laying aside. Laying aside. Will it never end? Unfortunately, no. Not on this life, not in this life. When it's over, it will. But laying it aside, constantly, constantly laying aside, laying aside, laying aside. Look, let me read you over here in Ephesians 4. This is what it's talking about, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, verse 21. Listen. If so be that you have heard him, and have been taught by him. See, we learn Christ. Verse 20 said, you've not so learned Christ. Like some of these folks that live in licentiousness and lasciviousness and uncleanness and greed. And that's not the way you learn Christ. So verse 21, if so be that you've heard him and been taught by him, as the truth is in Christ Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, lay aside the old ways and the old habits and the old companions, that old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. This is a thing that's done in the mind and the heart. And put on the new man, put off and put on, laying aside, picking up, that you put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And he specifies some things to be laid aside over here in 1 Peter 2. He says, let's lay aside all malice, ill will, ill feelings toward others. Lay aside this mouth. Don't hold grudges. Lay it aside. Get rid of it. And all guile. What is guile? That's deceit, dishonesty, doing anything dishonestly for gain. All guile and all hypocrisy. That's the opposite of sincerity. If you're sincere, you're not a hypocrite. If you're a hypocrite, you're not sincere. Lay aside these hypocrisies and envies. Envy is covetousness. Covetousness, greed, jealousy. Just be done with it. And evil speaking. Evil speaking. That's not just taking God's name in vain. That's evil speaking. Turn to the book of Psalms. Let's see, David had some things to say about the tongue and the mouth. James says a whole lot. Somebody said this, I read recently, that the work of God is done with the tongue. The work of God done with the tongue. Did you know that? Witnessing, teaching, preaching, done with the tongue. Unfortunately, the work of the devil is to false preaching, lies, gossip. Those things are done with the tongue. Psalm 39, David said this, Psalm 39, 1. I said, I'll take heed to my ways. And I tell you where that starts, my tongue, that I sin not with my tongue. I'll keep my mouth with a bridle, especially while the wicked's before me. Well, be careful what you say when the unbelievers are before you. Especially, but all the time, but especially. Psalm 141, listen to this. Psalm 141, verse 3, David speaks again. Psalm 141, verse 3. Lord, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Keep the door of my lips. All right, let's lay aside these things. Malice and ill will and guile and hypocrisy and envy and jealousy and covetousness and evil speaking. And then verse 2, 1 Peter 2. Go back there. Verse 2. As newborn babes. Now this is not written to unbelievers. Peter is speaking to believers. He said, as newborn babes, as born-again people. Everybody to whom this is written and to whom this applies isn't born of God. So as newborn babes, born of God, children of God, desire the sincere milk of the word. You know, there's not many things as helpless as a newborn babe. I can't think of a thing that a newborn babe can do but eat. That's right. I've been to the hospital when my own children were born and when some of yours was born. And I'll tell you, there's not much they can do. But that little fella can really nurse. That's all he can eat. He can eat. You'd think he'd never get full. He can eat. Like that fella said to the couple, you know, they wake up all during the night wanting to eat. That's the thing. They want that more than anything. They want milk. Fella said he's standing at the door of the hospital and a man and his wife came out with their first baby. Pastor, now wait a minute. How did you know it was their first baby? He said, I heard the husband ask the nurse, now what time do we wake him up in the morning? You won't have to wake him up. He'll wake you up. He wants to eat. That's all he can do. He wants to eat all during the night. All during the night. And he'll go for his milk. And that's what God's babies do. They go for the milk of the word. The Lord's babies want the milk. What kind of milk they want? They want sincere milk. What's that word mean? That word means unmixed, pure. They want it like I'm giving it tonight. Verse by verse. Word by word. Now, pure, plain, unmixed, sincere milk of the word. They want the word. Now, too many helps are a hindrance. I like books, and they're fine as far as they go. Here's the book. Here's how you grow right here. If you depend too much on helps and the words of men, you'll grow in their image. Barnard said one time, be careful. Don't imitate a man. You'll imitate his weaknesses and not his strength. I've seen preachers try to imitate other preachers, and every time they'll imitate the weakness because the strength is of God and the weakness is of the flesh. See what I'm saying? If you try to imitate anybody, you'll, by your own natural talent, you'll imitate what's natural to him, his weaknesses. His strength is God-given. It's a miracle. It's a gift. And in order to be like him, you got to have the same gift from God. You don't get it by looking at him. You get it by looking to him. That's right. You imitate. So be careful about some of these biographies and trying to. A friend of mine told me he read the biography of John Wesley. And he wanted to be like Wesley. So he'd get up every morning, and like Wesley did at 5 o'clock to pray. And he'd stand in front of kneel in front of the open window, you know, even in the wintertime, so the snow would blow on him like it did on Wesley, you know, through the cracks. And he said he'd fall asleep. And then it finally dawned on him that Wesley went to bed at 7 o'clock at night, and he could get up at 4 and pray. He said, I was going to bed at midnight after the evening news. And you try to imitate folks, and you get in all kind of trouble. Helps are all right, but they're a hindrance, too many of them. So he says here, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. Grow. Grow thereby. And if you'll turn to 2 Peter 3, I'll show you what this growth is. 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3, verse 18. Now listen to it. but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There it is. There's the twofold growth, in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. That's our growth. And what's this grace? Well, there are many graces. Let's turn to Galatians 5. First of all, turn to 2 Corinthians 8. This will help you to understand how he uses this word grace here. Grow in grace. That's not just the knowledge of the doctrines of grace. That's grow in grace. And here, this will give you a clue. This will give you a little help. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 7. Now, here in this chapter, Paul's talking about giving. The grace of giving. The grace of liberality. The grace of generosity. That's what he's talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. The whole chapter talks about it. And then he says in verse 7, therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith, faith's a grace, the gift of God, in utterance, preaching, teaching, and knowledge, it's the gift of God, in diligence, in love, those are graces. See that you abound in this grace also, giving. You see, this is faith is a grace. We grow in grace. We grow in faith. Lord, increase our faith. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. God sheds abroad His love in our hearts. The love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Love grows. As we read the Word, as we learn of Christ, love grows. Faith grows. Love grows. Galatians gives us some of these graces called fruit. And you grow in these things. This is where the growth is. It's growing in grace. In Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, humility, temperance. Against such there is no law. You see that? We grow in these things. Grow. Our Lord Jesus Christ said this to His disciples, or to the people too, I guess. He said, come to Me. Come to Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Then He said, take My yoke upon you and learn of Me. Not just from Me, learn of Me. And you'll find rest. Rest grows as you know Christ. Turn to Philippians 3:10. Listen to this. Grace and the knowledge of Christ. It's a twofold growth. Desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow. Grow in grace and grow in the knowledge of Christ. Paul said this in Philippians 3:10. Oh, that I may know Him. Didn't he know Christ? He did. Want to know Him more. Isn't that what he's saying? Know Him more. Grow in the knowledge of Christ, that I may know Him and power of His resurrected life and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable under His death. I want to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. It's a twofold growth. Over here in Ephesians 4, let me show you another verse. Learning Christ. We don't just... I read a translation one time. It said, take My yoke upon you and learn from Me. I thought about that, and we do learn from Him. We learn from the Holy Spirit, but we learn of Christ. We don't just learn from Him, we learn He's not only the teacher, He's the subject. He's the subject. He's not only the life giver, He's the life which He gives. You see what I'm saying? So we don't learn from Him, all we learn of Him. And let me show you that in Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all cleanness and greediness, but you've not so learned Christ. That's not the way you learned Christ. See that? You learned of Him. You grow in grace and the knowledge of Him. Of Him. All right, let's go back to our text. And I've got to move along. Verse 3. If so be you've tasted that the Lord is gracious, lay aside these things, desire the milk of the word that you may grow, if you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. This is taken from Psalm 34, verse 8. And this is what he's saying. If we have indeed tasted, and know by experience, the Lord's goodness and the Lord's grace in Christ, we will want to lay aside that which is dishonoring to Him, that which is displeasing to Him, won't we? We want to lay it aside. That which is uncharacteristic of the King's Son, we want to be done with it. And we will desire the sincere milk of the Word that we may grow. We'll desire the children's bread and milk if we have indeed tasted that the Lord is gracious. This body receives its nourishment through the mouth. When we're thirsty, we drink. When we're hungry, we eat. And that's the only place that food can go in, the mouth. My soul has a mouth by which it's fed, by which it grows, by what comes through that mouth. The mouth of the soul is the ear. Right. What you hear. That's exactly what this is saying. Desire the word that you may grow. And you're not going to, the fellow's not going to sit down and say, well, I'm going to love more. He's going to love more as he experiences through the word the love of Christ. I'm going to believe more. He's going to believe more as he experiences the truth of God. That's right. He's going to grow in generosity as he experiences the generosity of Christ, the mercy of Christ. That's right. He's going to grow in patience and kindness as he experiences through the word the patience and kindness and long-suffering of his Lord. That's right. Verse 4 tells us, to whom coming? To whom coming? That's the key to all grace, mercy, growth, assurance, perseverance. To whom coming? To whom coming? To whom? Come to me. That last day of the feast, he stood and said, if any man thirst, let him come to me. Let him come to me, and out of his belly shall flow a river of living water. We don't come to faith in Christ. We come to Christ in faith. We come to him. We don't come to faith. We come to Christ. Christ is the object of faith. Faith is not the object. Christ is. We don't. Somebody said, well, I came to the doctrines of grace. No, you didn't come to a doctrine. You came to a person. To a person. We don't come to faith in Christ. We come to Christ in faith. And that's what it says, to whom coming? Our Redeemer and our hope is not a stone temple, a holy place, a Mecca. He says, what's this? To whom coming as unto a living stone. He's a stone. He's a tried stone. But he's a living stone who lives and gives life to all who come to him. He's disallowed, rejected of men, but he's the chosen of God. And he's precious. He's precious. He's precious. And you also, look at verse 5. You also who have come to him are living stones. And you've built up a spiritual house. We don't come to a, like some religions, to a temple, to a stone temple, to a place on this earth, a city, a holy. We come to a person who's a, and we're living stones. And we're built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. What are these sacrifices? Well, look back at Hebrews 13. What are these sacrifices?
We are priests and we offer up sacrifices. We don't offer up lambs and bullocks and goats, but we do offer sacrifices. Look at Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now watch this. And to do good, and to communicate, to share, to help others. For with such sacrifices, God's well pleased. God is well pleased. He says almost the same thing in Philippians 4. Let's look over there a minute. Paul was in prison when he wrote this book of Philippians. And he says here in Philippians 4, I want you to look at this, verse 15. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, from you, he went down and preached to them, and he left them. No church communicated with me. No church helped me. No church supported me. No church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again into my necessity. You took care of my needs. Not because I desired a gift. I didn't ask you for anything. May what I desire is fruit. I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all. I have received all, and I abound. I'm full. Now watch it. Having received of Epaphroditus, that was their pastor. Epaphroditus was their pastor. I received from Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, these food and clothing and a blanket, I guess, to keep him warm, and a little care package. I received it, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to God. That's right. God never overlooks the simplest gift in his name. He said, you give a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple. God bless you. In verse 19, he said, but my God, you're not going to lose anything by giving. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So, he says, to him we come. Not to a stone temple, not to Mecca, not to Jerusalem, not to the Dome of the Rock or anything like that. We come to a living stone. All rejected of men, not understood, but chosen of God and precious. And we also are living stones. We're a spiritual house. We're the house of God. He said, my Father, now come take up our abode in you. And we are priesthood. We offer up spiritual sacrifices. I read you what they were. The fruit of our lips, thanksgiving, praise, prayer. Thank you, Lord. Helping others in the name of Christ. Relieving the sick, helping the widows and the orphans. Taking care of God's missionaries and preachers. It's well pleasing in God's sight. That's the reason I thank God for you. That's right. Thank God for you. Paul, sitting down there in jail, he said, nobody helped me but you. I sure thank God for you. But you're not going to lose. He said, my God will supply your need. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Verse 6 says, wherefore it's laid, also it's contained in the scripture. This is Isaiah 28. Behold, I lay in Zion. I lay in Zion. Zion's the church. Kingdom of God, a chief cornerstone. That's our Lord Jesus. Elect, he's my elect, God said. Christ be my first elect, God said, and then he chose us in our head. Precious, he that believeth on him will not be ashamed, not be put to shame, not ever have any shame. Now then, he divides the whole world into two classes. Verse 7. The whole world, all people, all religion are narrowed down to two groups. Unto you, Therefore, which believe, he's precious. Unto them which be disobedient, and that's not believing. Remember Joe Terrell's recent article, if you're obedient, you believe. If you're not obedient, you don't believe. That's reason you're not obedient, because you don't believe. Illustrate that when Moses said God's going to rain hail down on this place, and you better get your cattle in. Everybody believed him, took the cattle in. They obeyed him. Those that didn't believe him left the cattle out and they died. And he says, unto you that believe, he's precious. He's precious. He's all and in all. He's altogether lovely one. He's the fairest of 10,000. He's the brightest morning star. He's the altogether lovely. Unto you that believe, he's precious. Precious. Unto them which be disobedient, he's not precious. The stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and to them he's a stone of stumbling. The Lord Jesus Christ is a stone, not on which they build, not on which they rest, not on which they're saved, not in which they're hid. He's a stumbling stone by which they fall. Unto you that believe, he's a precious cornerstone. To them, well, they stumbled at his birth. They said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? They stumbled at his vocation. They said, well, we know him. He's a carpenter. They stumbled at his education. They said, do you teach us, having never learned? They stumbled at his human nature. They said, well, we know his mother and father and his brothers and sisters. They stumbled at his claims to God, to being to deity. They said, you're a man. You can't be God. Even his death caused them to stumble. They said, if you're the Son of God, come down. We find all these things precious. But not to them. They stumble. He's a rock. To us, he's a rock. The Lord is my rock and my salvation, but he's a rock of offense. A rock of offense. They're offended. This whole world divided in two classes. It's concerning who he is, what he did, why he did it, where he is now. Unto those that believe, boy, he's precious, and he gets more precious every day. To those who don't believe, he's a stone of stumbling, he's a rock of offense. And his gospel's offensive. His gospel calls them sinners, and that offends their dignity. His gospel says he's sovereign in salvation. That offends their pride. His gospel says it comes by divine revelation, and that offends their wisdom. His gospel says he's Lord, and that offends their love of self. Ah, he's offensive.
Now watch it now. And they stumble at the Word. Here we are, that Word business. We're born of the Word. We grow by the Word. We have assurance by the Word. And people who perish stumble at the Word. My Word, he said, will judge you. This is where the trouble is. So people today, to keep being offending anyone, they close it and put it aside. They don't preach it. They sing. And whoopee. Carry on a big time, you know. But it's the Word, being disobedient. But now, wait a minute, whereunto also they were appointed. Men do what they will do, but when they do what they will do, they do what he will for them to do. That's right. Men do what they will do. When they crucified Christ, they did what they would do. When they did what they will do and would do, they did what he determined before to be done. Appointed. Even their opposition will accomplish his divine will. All right, in closing, but you. Oh, boy. But you. I'm glad. But you. I'm in that bunch right there. Because to me, he's precious. And you too, you love him. He's precious. But you,
But you, beloved, I'm persuaded better things of you than what I just read. But you are a chosen generation. The Lord chose you in Christ out of every nation, tongue, kindred. He chose you to grace and glory. Grace here and glory later. He chose you to be a royal priest. That's a king priest. You're the king's son. You wear the royal apparel of his righteousness and the crown of his glory, and yet you're a priest anointed by his Spirit to draw near to God and offer spiritual sacrifices. Royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. Thought that was the Jew. It is. We're Jews. He's not a Jew which is one outwardly. We're true Israel who worship God in spirit, rejoice in Christ, and have no confidence in the flesh. You're a holy nation. Now watch this. You're a peculiar people. A peculiar people. A purchased people, but a peculiar people. A special people. The Lord bears a special love for you. Favors you with special blessings. And takes special care of you. Cast all your care on him. He cares for you. You're special. You're purchased people. Watch it now. In order that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's where I started, wasn't it? He did a work for us. He called us out of darkness, out of death, out of the dungeon, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, to show forth his praises, the glory of him who called you. And there was a time when you weren't a people, but you are now the people of God. There was a time when you hadn't obtained mercy. You were wandering around in a false religion like all the rest of us, but you've obtained mercy. All right, I pray the Lord will bless that to your profit and to his glory.